and the choir for that special number. Trust that tonight you will hear the Good Shepherd calling to you. We trust that you will come if you haven't as yet. Now, we'd like to thank Brother Tony and Sister Patty for music, and happy to call in Brother Frank Perry for the message.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to thank you very much for remembering us in your prayers. We had a tremendous time up in the Carolinas, shared in just being with Brother Tom, as well as I spoke in three other assemblies. But every chance I got, I was with him, stayed with him. Charles and Mabel, they send their greetings. You know, Mabel doesn't feel that extra, but she's an amazing woman. She just keeps on going. She has a lot of energy. I said, Mabel, I've got to get sick like you to be able to keep up with you. And they send their love, and as well as Worth and Dorothy. You know, a lot of people don't realize, but come April, Worth will be 80 years of age. And sometimes we don't realize that. But he keeps going. He's up at 2 o'clock every morning, and he's in the book till 4 o'clock or longer. And he says he's having the best time of his life with the Lord, only he doesn't have any goal to get out and give it. So he preaches about once a month, and he enjoys that as well. Both of them send their love. I want you to turn, please, tonight to Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, and I'd like to speak on what I believe to be three of the saddest words in the Bible. Three of the saddest words in the Bible. And for this reading, I'll refer to other parts of the chapter. But verse 10 of Exodus 32, I want you to get the setting. Moses is up in the mountain, and God is giving to him the table of commandments, and he's writing on the tablet what God is imparting to him. Then God tells him this in verse 10. Now therefore, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Sad words, are they not? For God to tell Moses, the great giant, the leader of the people of Israel, to leave him alone, is really something to take note of. For God to tell anyone, leave me alone, it is serious and it is very sad. It is a form of judgment. God says, I don't want anything more to do with Israel. Just step aside. And I am going to bring judgment upon Israel because of their sin. And Moses didn't know what was happening at the time. Why was God so angry? Why was he upset? Why would he tell his servant, leave me alone? It's because he was up in the temple with the Lord for quite a while. And the people said, this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. And so they begged Aaron to make a calf, or at least some idol whereby they can worship. We want to worship our God. And Aaron said, you do not know what you're talking about. And they pressed him so sorely, that is, they perhaps would have even stoned him had he not obeyed. We're not giving Aaron right. So Aaron agreed that he would make them a God. And so he said, bring all of your earrings. You think earrings are just causing a problem today? You're making a big mistake. They caused problems way back then. And so they brought their earrings and their bracelets and what have you. And as they brought them, Aaron makes a golden calf. And they worship this calf. And the word of God says, and then they rose up to play. And let me tell you something, they didn't play bingo or scrabble or shuffleboard. They were involved in sex orgies that just nauseated God. God was so upset with what was happening, and Moses still didn't know what was going on. And so God said, Moses, leave me alone. Step aside. I'm going to bring judgment on these people. And now I admire Moses. Moses said, not so, Lord. Don't do it. I beg you. I plead with you. He stood there as an arbitrator, as a substitute. Because later on in the chapter, he says, Lord, blot me out of your book, but spare Israel. Don't destroy Israel. Remember what you promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Moses didn't know what was happening. And so Moses finally went down to the camp of Israel, and Joshua was waiting for him down on the, perhaps the mountain, below the mountain, and they said, "We hear music. It must be the sound of triumph in war." Moses said, "No, it's not the sound of triumph in war." They were singing. When they got there, Moses saw the people bowing and worshiping the golden calf, and they were singing to their heathenistic god. And when Moses saw that they were naked and they had been involved in only the Lord knows what, it's not told in detail, but you can use your imagination, then Moses became angry now, you see? And Moses took the tables of stone and he broke them. And he ground the calf into powder and put it in water and made them drink it. Now Moses becomes extremely angry. A plague came upon Israel as a result of their sin. And thousands of people lost their lives because of it. But I think of the words of the Lord here. "Leave me alone." Moses could say that to God then because he didn't know what was happening. "Leave me alone." Sad, sad words for God Jehovah to tell any man or to tell a people, "Leave me alone." There was another man who had cheated his brother, who lied to his father, and he went along with his mother just to obtain the blessing that he would have gotten anyhow. And he went before his father and he lied to his dad. Well, it was a common practice with Jacob. Jacob's name means cheat, supplanter. So it was not unusual for him to be involved in trickery or connive. And this is what he was doing. He said, "I'm Esau, father." He said, "It's strange." He said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob." And then when he felt the animal skins on his arm, he said, "But the arms are that of Esau. Oh, Esau, my son, you smell like that of the field, the hunter. Now I know that you are my son." And I suppose Jacob had a little twinkle in his eye. He was pulling one over on his dad. Years later, without going into detail, for the sake of time, he learns that Esau was coming. Jacob was going back to his homeland, by the way. His mother told him to get away for a little while, and after your brother's hatred has been appeased, then you can come back. But he never saw his mother again. She died. This is one of the consequences of sin. And Jacob never did see his beloved mother anymore. And he's coming home now after 20 long years. And while he's bringing his family and he's bringing all of his flock and all of his wealth, and it was a great caravan that Jacob had. And it was resting a little while with all of his servants and his children. And you have to give him a lot of credit. He was not a man to drive the sheep. He was a good shepherd. A lot of lessons can be drawn there. But then the news comes to him that Esau is coming with a band of men. And Jacob begins to tremble now and he's scared. And so to appease his brother, he puts out different gifts in about groups of three. And he figured that by the time Esau got one of the gifts and then came to the other group, and there were more gifts lavished upon him, and the third be more gifts lavished upon him, Jacob said, "Perchance my brother will be appeased." By the way, that word "appeased" there means atonement. It is the same word we have for pitch when the ark was pitched within and without. The word is kafar, which means atonement. The ark was pitched. There was the atonement. There was a security. There, the word atonement means security. Appeasing now is for reconciliation with his brother. There it means reconciliation. To atone. To appease my brother Esau. Ah, but what he didn't encounter a figure for, that after he crossed the Jabbok, the Lord Jesus would meet him. Because the man of God, I believe, there was none other than the Lord. Wrestled with him all night. Jacob was fleeing, or at least trying to appease Esau, but he had to face God. And he wrestled with a man of God. Now, I admire him, because there God said in the person of the Lord Jesus, I believe this Christophany we call it, he said, "Leave me alone." The same word. Let me go. Let me go. Leave me alone. Jacob held on. I like that. He says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." I admire him for that. But what he didn't figure for was what the next thing would be, the next question. The Lord Jesus said, "What is your name?" My friend, this is important. Then Jacob, I believe he loosens his grip a bit and he puts his head down because he said, "My name is cheat. My name is liar. My name is conniver. My name is supplanter." Because that's what Jacob really means, you see? And so he had to confess what he really was before God. And God said, "Leave me alone." He says, "I will not let you alone until you bless me." God says, "I'll bless you. What is your name?" "I am cheat." My friend, let me tell you something. You'll never be saved until you say, "Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I'm lost." Then God can do something with you. Oh, would to God men and women could just bring themselves and be willing enough to say, "Lord, I know I have sinned. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I don't want you to leave me alone. I come because of the Lord Jesus." Like Moses as the arbitrator, the go-between, the substitute. Here is a man that was willing to tell God, "Lord, blot me out of your book. But leave Israel, spare Israel, save Israel." What a man of God. I admire this dear man. I really do. Because of the corruption that was going on down there in the valley, and what they were involved in his judgment, in his anger, he was ready to blot them out of his book. But Moses said, "No, blot me out of your book, Lord." Their failure to recognize the God of heaven as they were involved in such corruption, in such sin. You see, sin always demands a judgment. Always. Always remember that. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus paid the price of sin on the cross, as we shall note in a few seconds. "What is your name?" "Cheat." "All right, from now on, you're going to be a prince with God. Your name is going to be changed." Let me ask you a question. Is your name changed? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Can you say tonight on the authority of the Word of God that I know that I'm going to heaven? I know that I'm ready to go if death should come tonight. I am prepared. I'm ready. I am absolutely positive. I am secured in the Lord Jesus Christ, because my name has been changed to Christ in me, the hope of glory. Are you a Christian? Your name changed to that. I don't mean Christian in the sense of the world used in very loosely. In the world, Christendom, it's a word that's not what we're talking of. We're talking about Christ occupying one's life. We're talking about being a possessor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one day, in simplicity and in humility, you said, "Lord, I'm a sinner, save me." And the Lord Jesus came into your heart. Can you say that tonight? Don't complicate it. Just do it. Make up your mind. Don't let the devil have a heyday. Don't let him persuade you or influence you. Don't let him become the thief of your life as well as the thief of your soul. You can't afford that. Just tell him tonight, "Get behind me, Satan. This night going to be different. I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to allow him, the Lord Jesus, the one who died for me, to become my Savior and my Lord." Be willing. That's why Jesus faced the Pharisees, and this is what he said to the Pharisees: "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Basically, that's the problem, the underlying problem with our world tonight. they will not come. Is that true of you? I pray not. I sincerely trust not. Our world is ready to push the panic button. We hardly know where we're going. Our political setup in the world is just seems to be captivated by liberalism. They don't know their left from their right. As Morris mentioned the other night about moral standards or standards that have been lowered, let me tell you, the society of the world is like that changing. Except in a lot of the countries where the Arabs live, you steal over there, you get your hand cut off. You kill over this side, and you got some mamby-pambies who stand up there and say, I am not convinced that the electric chair or hanging is the answer or capital punishment. One man shouted, he says, it's inhuman to hang a man. And here's a man that put a cord around the necks of 8 women and strangled them to death. That's not inhuman. Put him away. Like John Hagee said, he throws the key away as well. You can lock him up, or rape, or whatever. Love, we're living in a society that's warped. I was in North Carolina, a very well-to-do. I mean, she wasn't wealthy, but she was comfortable. And getting her groceries and came out to the car. These two thugs hit her over the head, shoved her in the car, as if that wasn't enough, only to rob her, mind you, and took her down at a certain place and dumped her out in the field or in the gutter. Killed her. Literally killed her just to rob her. Brother Charles Oxendine took Brother Tom and myself to a spot not too far from where he lived, and he said, this is where James Jordan came on the side of the road, and it didn't look like a bad place either. It was a resting place, really. He had a Lexus car. I believe Michael bought the car for him. And he just was sleepy, I guess, and rather than drive, you know, asleep, he pulled on the side of the road. And he said, Charles said, this is where he pulled off, right here. And two young men going all over the town that night, and they admitted trying to find who they could rob. They saw James Jordan there, Michael Jordan, the famous basketball player. They saw him there in the car fast asleep, broke in, hit him over the head, and took him out of town, killed him, and robbed him, and took the car. That's all they wanted, money. Money. Drove all over the city that night, the next day, and in fact, for 3 days, they drove around in James Jordan's car. They didn't know it was James Jordan. In fact, when they found the body, it was so decomposed that my friend who is a dentist there in Pembroke, North Carolina, what they usually do is take the fingerprints of a victim and they may take the jaw, the dental work, so that they could have the dental work. And James Jordan was missing. Michael wanted to know where his daddy was. And they didn't even know that that was James Jordan. The police didn't know. Those who performed the autopsy didn't know. And they cremated James Jordan. And then they said, maybe that's who James Jordan is, the one to be cremated. And so my friend Collins, the dentist, took the dental work, sent it to the FBI, and sure enough, it was James Jordan. Here's a man who was just tired, an innocent man, parking on the wayside just to get a rest. They killed him, murdered him, sold his car up in Fayetteville. In fact, when they got up to Fayetteville, the car was already stripped. And so it goes on and on and on. And we don't have to go very far. We have it in our own country. God says these same people are going to come in for serious, severe judgment in the coming day. In Psalm 22, in verse 1, we read these words, which were prophecy, but they were finally uttered by the Lord Jesus when he hung on the cross. And you know the story real well. When our Lord Jesus hung on the cross, finally he cried this cry, the middle cry. He said, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? Now, God didn't say to his son, leave me alone. But in reality, God left him alone. Are you following me? God turned his back on his beloved son when he cried, why hast thou forsaken me? And he turned. And he left him alone to suffer there on the cross in those dark hours of Calvary. Listen, my friend, listen. The reason why God left him alone is because your sin and my sin was on him. Jesus bore our sins there in his body. And God could not look at sin. He couldn't tolerate sin. And he turned his back on his beloved son. And he left him alone. And just imagine the wonderful fellowship they enjoyed in eternity past, the Father and the Son. After all, they were together when they created man. Remember, God says, let us make man in our image. And the very man that they had created and made were the men who crucified the Lord Jesus. They enjoyed pleasure in eternity past. And in fact, there was pleasure in the Godhead because from the heavens a voice rang out one day, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Pleasure in the Godhead, you see. They enjoyed fellowship one with the other. They enjoyed working at their occupation. He said, Jesus said, I work and my Father worketh hitherto. They both work together. And so the Godhead always